Holy Gospel according to St. Mark, the 13th chapter.
Glory to you,
O Lord. You notice I said St. Mark. Advent brings us to the turn of the liturgical year, and in that turning, we enter the reading of a new gospel. We've been in the Gospel of Matthew for, lo, these many months, and so now we'll follow up with the Gospel of Mark. Curiously, however, we stay in this kind of same path of apocalyptic reading. So this will be the kind of the fourth Sunday in a row we're reading about apocalyptic end times and how to prepare, how to wait, how to watch. Jesus said, "In those days, after that suffering, the sun will be darkened and the moon will not give its light. And the stars will be falling from heaven, and the powers in the heavens will be shaken. Then they will see the Son of Man coming in clouds with great power and glory. Then the Son of Man will send out the angels and gather his elect from the four winds, from the ends of the earth to the ends of heaven. From the fig tree, learn its lesson. As soon as its branch becomes tender and puts forth its leaves, you know that summer is near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that he is near, at the very gates. Truly I tell you, this generation will not pass away until all these things have taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But about that day or hour no one knows, neither the angels in heaven nor the Son, but only the Father. Beware. Keep alert, for you do not know when the time will come. It is like someone going on a journey, who, leaving home and putting the slaves in charge of their own work, commands the doorkeeper to be on the watch. Therefore, keep awake, for you do not know when the Lord of the house will come, in the evening, or at midnight, or at cockcrow, or at dawn, or else, coming suddenly, the Lord may find you asleep. And what I say to you, I say to all. Keep awake." The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, O Christ.
Please be seated. Well, toward the end of our lesson, there's this short little parable that says, it is like someone going on a journey, and that person leaves someone else in charge of the work, and the doorkeeper is to keep watch. So this little parable is about watchfulness, and it directs its focus upon the doorkeeper. Keep awake, keep watch. But this is one part of the gospel. The gospel in its entirety is really all about the journey. It is like someone going on a journey. And it's about paying attention, keeping awake, being watchful, being attentive to that journey. First of all, we should be attentive to the journey of Jesus here among us. And in the story and in our time, his journey to many people to care for us. In a way, his journey joins us all together over time and place, even though he himself is like a refugee with no place to lay his head. Even whose own family kind of wondered, what is this guy up to? We're not so sure about him. He seems to be acting strangely. But on his journey, Jesus brings us together. In the scriptures it says, Jew and Gentile, men and women, people of authority and people of poverty. In that day, every day is like this lesson. It's like an apocalyptic ending. The old ways are changing, the ways of divisiveness, the ways of abuse, the ways of prejudicial dominance. These things are to end. And in that way, Jesus is on a journey of hope. If you stay around for the center celebration, that's going to be our theme for that service, a journey of hope. His journey to many people brings hope, brings meaning, brings community and life. And that's what the gospel itself is asking of us to watch, to pay attention to have our hearts open to, this hopefulness that binds us all together, to be awake to Jesus' journey of hope among all people whom he touches, and as he promises, for all people across the ages, across time. So even though we were not there, we hear these words as if we were. The gospel asks us also this day, as we prepare for the coming of the child, to pay attention, to keep watch, to journey along with Jesus, to trust, to have faith in what he is up to. Not so easy to do, however, particularly judging from the disciples' behavior. It's a kind of a hallmark of the book of St. Mark, is that the disciples really have a hard time figuring out what Jesus is up to. Or if they do understand it, they're not so sure it's the best thing to be doing. Why is Jesus traveling around to all these strange places, foreign places even? Why does he journey to the lost, to the hungry, to the hopeless? In Mark's gospel, the disciples really are presented as being rather dense. They don't always get it. They are not watching carefully. They're not paying attention. They're not really even seeing the Christ with them. But I wonder, as we think about what Jesus is up to, where he's going, what his mission is, perhaps the disciples are pretty much on top of it. Maybe they get it all too well. This is going to be a difficult journey. And we know the destination is pretty tough. Where is all this going to lead? Bringing hope to the hopeless, encouraging the acceptance of people different from us, empowering women, challenging the authority of those who prosper in inequitable systems. Jesus knows. Throughout the gospel, we call them passion predictions, but I don't think they're predictions. He's pretty clear. I think he understands what's going to happen at the end. And he says at least three times he will give his life. I think he and his disciples have paid pretty good attention to the fact that John the Baptist, preaching much of the same good news, was killed by Herod. That's a pretty powerful predictor in itself. I remember years ago, traveling as a younger person, folks would often say, it's not the destination, it's the journey. But I'm thinking in Jesus' case, perhaps it's both. Jesus' journey really does define his destination. He is giving life all along the way. He is challenging death all along the way. But his death on the cross has marked every aspect of his journey as well. He gives himself completely each time to all folks in their status, whether that's excluded or outcast or sinner, that becomes his. He takes that upon himself. So here, as I mentioned prior to reading the gospel lesson, we're in this fourth Sunday in a row that we've listened to these apocalyptic end time readings, three from Matthew, and now we begin Advent with Mark's. What's this one in Mark all about? How is it that we do watch? How do we wait? What is faith? I actually like to write sermons. That used to be kind of difficult because I have this sense, you got to have it all in your mind before you start. That's a bad way. I've learned you just start. Things come. So I wonder if this lesson isn't about the way we started today, with repentance and its opposite, denial. Isn't that really what we're talking about in terms of watchfulness and an openness of who we are, the truth of ourselves? Repentance, perhaps that is the way we watch, to take a clear look at ourselves, at our world, our reality, what's going on in the world. How have we been traveling? Has it been a journey of hope? Or are we caught in denial, people refusing to see the truth or calling the truth fake? Seems to be the current approach. Jesus wants us to learn clear lessons. His time was like ours, however. We believe what we want to believe too often. Jesus says today in the lesson, learn from the fig tree. Simple enough, leaves come out, summer is near. Believe it. My fig tree is confused. Well, it's really my quince bush and others. Leaves are coming out, but it is not summer. Maybe something's happening with the climate. Learn the lesson. Repent. Or deny, deny, deny. Jesus says, don't live in denial. Keep watch. Look to see what's going on and happening. Denial is the way of the world, however. And it does seem to work pretty well. I'm thinking of the recent sexual behavior scandals. Those who repented or were forced to admit the truth, they were removed from positions. Those who deny, 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 they stand for election. But Jesus is calling for the truth to be spoken in our hearts to God, our Creator. And, you know, I'm using these dramatic examples, but it's not just prominent folks who have a denial problem. If we look into our own hearts, we think of our own lives, the journey we've traveled, have we also not been plagued with the insistence to deny what we know to be true? We deny others and their full humanity, or we deny the truth of our own failings, our own insecurities, our own brokenness in relationship. In this way, as Jesus speaks to his disciples, he speaks very directly to us as well. And all the disciples and we as well are finally symbolized by that one and boldest disciple, Peter, who most famously denied the Christ. Now, it's not simply that Jesus is asking us to pay attention to his suffering, but to all we meet on the journey, who may be hopeless, who may be lost, who may be hungry, who also are suffering. All of those with whom he is one, keep awake. And in this sense, the lesson is very much like last week. I come to you in the hungry, the lost, the poor. Jesus, I think we could understand his divinity in the sense that he's always awake. He's always paying attention. He's always hearing what the will of God is for him. He's always deeply related to that spirit of truth, of creation, of understanding, of forgiveness, an openness of heart to each one of us, bringing care and hope. He knows where this all will lead. He knows that our own sleep will lead him to the cross, but he also knows that upon the cross, he will awaken us to new life in forgiveness and welcome into this new realm, the new age. For Jesus will never deny you or me. He will never deny us. He knows us always in the blessedness of forgiveness, in the promise of new life. And so it is. Our trust in who he is and what he does for us, our deep relationship with him and the one who sent him, it is that care and love, that forgiveness, that death on the cross on our behalf that keeps us awake and alert, that gives us courage and hope to go forward on our journey to where we were sent to be in relationship with Jesus the Christ and all those to whom he sends us, both in this life and the life to come. Keep awake, brothers and sisters. It's a great promise. Amen.